Well, John, now we're going to go to Africa, Southern Africa specifically. There's a new AIDS report that says that the numbers of South Africans infected with HIV/AIDS has stabilized. That means plateaued. But is that a good thing? Is it true that the number of teens, for example, with HIV has decreased? This morning, we are joined by Dr. Ernest Darko. He's in Johannesburg. He's chairman of Broad Reach Healthcare, a group that works to create national health programs. And Dr. Darko was also one of the leading figures in Botswana's national antiretroviral treatment program, the most successful public sector HIV/AIDS treatment program in Africa. Dr. Darko, I want to start with this report that says that the number of people infected with HIV has, quote, stabilized at 10.9%. What does that mean?
Basically, it means that if you take a snapshot of the population, let's say over the last few years, that snapshot in terms of the percentage of people who are infected has not changed significantly.
So
hopefully what that means is that we are seeing a decrease in new infections such that those new infections are not keeping the prevalence growing higher and higher and higher.
So do you believe, first of all, that those numbers are accurate? And by that I mean both the stabilization aspect of the number and the 10.9% number.
I do believe those numbers are accurate. I think we've always said that there's 5-point-something million infected people in South Africa. If you apply the 10.9% to the current population of South Africa, it is 5-point-something million people who are infected. So that number we've always known, and it's not different. In terms of stabilizing, the work done by the HSRC is first-class, top-notch research, and they conducted an excellent survey, probably one of the best in class, I do believe that those results are accurate.
Now, one thing that this report does indicate is that HIV prevalence among young people is down, and do you get a sense of that in doing the work that you do? Why is it important to really track young people in this epidemic?
I do believe that the data that the rates in young people are going down, and my belief is more based on more anecdotal things, but it seems that youth are a little bit more responsive to messages. The slightly older age groups, for some reason, seem quite fixed in their behaviors and a little bit harder to reach. So if there's a group that would respond to messages in the same way that youth are quicker at adopting technologies, etc. Right now, my 3-year-old knows more about the DVD remote than I do. If there is change, it will come from that group. And by the way, it's critical that that group does reflect the change, because that's the group that is uninfected largely right now and then increasingly becomes infected as they grow older. So if we're going to break the back of the epidemic, we have to have the youth demonstrate that change.
Well, I'm wondering if, anecdotal information is hard to combine with broad statistical information, but are you seeing at the clinical level any signs of behavioral changes that could be significant?
Well, at the clinical level, we would not actually expect to see any change reflected, because keep in mind, right now in South Africa, if we estimate we have 5-point-something million infected people, out of that 5-point-something million, 1 million need treatment immediately, and currently we have maybe about 400,000 on treatment. So that leaves, close to almost 600,000 people who need treatment right away, and then another, 4 million who would need to come through for treatment or care through the pipeline. So actually, we would like to see more people showing up at the hospital and at earlier points, because currently the problem we have is everybody comes when they're sort of on death's door expecting a miracle, and it makes it unsustainable.
Well, speaking of the resources, there was a controversial report that came out, it was really about a year ago. The report was from the Harvard Public Health School, and it said that 330,000 people died needlessly because Thabo Mbeki's government did not take responsibility for HIV and for bringing in enough medication. It was a very controversial report. Do you believe that it is true?
I cannot attest to the actual number because I didn't read the methodology behind the report and how they actually calculated that number. What I do believe, however, and I think we've seen it a number of times, in particular on the African continent, we've had many situations where certain policies that were put in place, whether in many cases even well-intentioned, I think have contributed to an increase in the overall suffering and death from HIV. And I think the stance taken by certain political leadership in this country definitely would have contributed to a delay in the response, and therefore I think a more death and suffering than otherwise if good leadership and proper sound action had been taken much earlier.
Doctor, we only have time for one quick final question. What is the most important thing? Is it funding? Is it awareness? What is the one thing to do to drop these numbers?
Behavior change. People have to change their behavior. HIV is 100% preventable. Nobody has to get infected starting tomorrow if that choice was truly made and internalized. And therefore, behavior change is absolutely critical, does not require an ounce more of funding if people really are able to change their behavior and take control of their own health and realize that they have a lot to do about whether they'll become infected or not.
Wise words. Thank you so much. We were speaking with Dr. Ernest Darko, global health expert. He is working with Botswana's National Antiretroviral Treatment Program, and he's in Johannesburg.